This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The second message that I want to deliver before we throw the floor open for the open question session is that 15-point action plan for the Muslim Ummah when someone insults Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, or indulges in Islamic blasphemy. I will not be repeating what I spoke last week, last Saturday, in the last session about what was done in France, including the act of President Emmanuel Macron of France. I will not be repeating that. And I had given a short message of 24 minutes last Saturday. In that message, I did say that what President Emmanuel Macron said, that Islam is in crisis all over the world, he got it wrong. It is actually Islam has the solution for the crisis all over the world. And I requested that if you hear my talk, Islam, the solution for the problems of humanity, it will clarify all its questions. And even my talk on is terrorism a Muslim monopoly, it will reply to the allegations of President Macron that Islam is a radical religion and Islam is a religion of terrorism. It will give the details. I also mentioned in the last session that regarding what Muslims should do, they should listen to my answer, which I gave in 2006 regarding the Danish cartoons, the Jyllands-Posten newspaper in Denmark, which had given caricatures, 12 cartoons of a beloved Prophet Muhammad. But because I got so many requests from the viewers that I should repeat the reply, and but naturally, since that reply was in 2006, that's about 9 years ago, today I thought of giving a short message on the 15-point action plan for the Muslim Ummah when someone insults Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, or indulges in Islamic blasphemy. If someone speaks against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, against the Quran, against Islam. So this answer is a brief regarding the 15 actions that the Muslim should take. It's not only focused or localized to what's happening in France. It includes that, but this is a general answer on 15 actions that the Muslim should take. This answer of mine will just be touching on the highlights of the 15 points. I will not be going into the details because this is a question answer session. Each action or each point in detail can be spoken for an hour or more. It requires a lecture. So this I'll be just touching the salient features of the 15 actions that Muslims should take, and it will be specifically dealing on this topic. I will not be discussing about the general farais that all Muslims should do, that we Muslims should be good examples to the non-Muslims, that we should be honest, we should be kind, we should be merciful, we should be humble, we should be helping. All this is spoken by me in detail in other various lectures of mine. So today, I will be hitting the nail on the head, only speaking specifically of the 15 actions that the Muslim Ummah should take when someone insults the Prophet or someone indulges in Islamic blasphemy. The first action, whenever someone reads any article against the Prophet or sees a sketch or a cartoon insulting a beloved Prophet Muhammad, we should follow the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad said, it's mentioned in Sahih Muslim, volume number 1, hadith number 177, that the beloved Prophet Muhammad said that if you see any evil action, you should change it with your hand. That means you take an action against it. If you cannot, then do it with your tongue, that is by speaking. If you cannot, then do it with your heart. That means hate that act and agree it is wrong. Then you will be the lowest level of mu'min, the lowest level of a believer. So the least a Muslim can do, whenever he hears any derogatory remarks against the Prophet, or any caricature, or any cartoon against the Prophet, any insult against the Prophet, any blasphemy against Islam, the least he can do is condemn it immediately in his heart and agree that what is done is wrong. This is the least anyone can do. Today, after the society has advanced, we find many Muslims have got so much westernized and have started agreeing with the freedom of expression that many a time when someone insults the Prophet, you don't even bat an eyelid. As though nothing has happened. Oh, this is freedom of speech. Today's world is, you know, it's a global village. And the freedom of speech that someone wants to insult the Prophet, no problem. A mu'min, a true mu'min, whenever he hears any insults, the least he can do is condemn that act in his heart. So number one that any Muslim should do whenever he comes across any blasphemy against Islam, any insult against the Prophet, is condemn that act and agree it is wrong. Then only can you go ahead with the other steps. If you don't condemn it, if you don't hate that thing in your heart, if you don't agree it is wrong, then how will you be able to reply or to take the other steps? So number one is you have to condemn that act in your heart. Number two, he should take some action. Minimum. The minimum today that a Muslim can do besides condemning the act is that convey to the others that this act is wrong. And today the world is a global village. And today the social media has become so popular and so common that for us to condemn such acts, we can easily do it on the social media. This wasn't there 10 years back. But now, today, internet is used by about 60% of the world population. Out of the 7.82 billion people that we have today, 60% use internet, 4.56 billion people. And from this, 4.14 billion of the people in the world, they use social media. That is 53% of the world population uses social media. So what a Muslim can do? And most of the Muslims will be having social media accounts, whether it be Facebook, whether it be YouTube, whether it be Twitter. We have to condemn this act on the social media. If you cannot write any articles yourself, or you're not good with words, the least you can do is go to the other Facebook pages or the other social media sites and scan what the other Muslim da'is have said, what the Muslim leaders have said, what other Muslim scholars have said. The least you can do is copy and post it onto your social media account. Today, Facebook is the largest and the most used social media. Today, as on October 2020, there are 2.701 billion users, monthly active users, MAU, in the world. 2.701 billion active monthly users. That's about 35% of the world population. They are on the Facebook. Even if you agree that the Muslims use social media less, at least 25% of the Muslims will be on the Facebook. And today, the Muslim population is approximately 2 billion. I'm shocked that in the last 1 week, when I heard some of the heads of states of Muslim countries, they are saying that Muslims are 1.6 billion in the world today. Some said 1.5 billion. From where do they get these statistics? This may be 10, 15 years back. According to the PEW report, which is an authentic report, in 2015, 5 years ago, they said that Muslims were 1.8 billion. 24.1% of the world population were Muslims. And statistics tell us that the Muslims increase 2.2% annually every year. Some statistics say they increase by 1.5%. If you calculate and you multiply 1.8 billion by 2.2 by 2.2 by 2.25 times, you get a figure of more than 2 billion. If you agree the increase is only 1.5% every year, yet you get a figure of 1.95 billion. So today Muslims are approximately 2 billion in the world. So how can a head of state of a Muslim country, which is one of the largest in the world, say that Muslims are only 1.6 billion? So even if we agree that 25% of the Muslims use Facebook, that means half a billion Muslims will be having Facebook. And imagine if we convey this message and we condemn this act, it may be anything, whether it may be the Danish cartoon, whether it be the Charlie Hebdo, whether it be Macron, what he insulted the Prophet, or whether it be Salman Rushdie. Whenever such incidents take place, the least you can do today is on the social media you convey it. And Alhamdulillah, I did a campaign for about 5 days on the Facebook, and it's going to end today, inshallah, from last Tuesday to the Saturday for 5 days, and I had 16 posts that were designed, and every day either 3, 4, or 5 posts were posted on my Facebook. And Alhamdulillah, in a span of these 5 days, it's yet continuing, about 35 million people saw this post, mashallah. And in the next 1 week, it may reach about 45 to 50 million. So everyone can put on his Facebook. We know today, the more number of people that you have, the Facebook doesn't let your post reach everyone. They let only a small percentage reach amongst your followers. Only a small percentage receive, unless you pay a lot of money. And as a policy, I do not give a single dollar. I don't give any paid ads or any paid post. Mine is 100% fully organic. My followers, Alhamdulillah, on the Facebook are 22.6 million. But on a normal post, about 500,000, 800,000, sometimes a million. But in this, mashallah, the average was much higher. You can even post it on Twitter. You can post your condemnation on the YouTube. The talk that I gave, the answer that I gave last week, it was for 24 minutes. And when I put on my YouTube, in 3 days, mashallah, more than 500,000 people saw it. So in this way, a Muslim can, mashallah, reach across the world. Imagine if all the Muslims put on their social media account, surely we will be able to convey this message to half the world. Everyone at least has some following, and many people have this philosophy that, oh, you know, there are hardly about 1,000 people on my Facebook, or only 500 people on the Facebook. Allah will give you thawab on your action. Suppose a person can reach 1 million people, and he only reaches 500,000 people. And a person who Allah has given capacity to reach to 1,000 people, and he reaches all 1,000 people, he will get more sawab than the person who has reached 500,000 people, because Allah gave him a capacity of 1 million. So depending upon whatever ability you have got, my request to the Muslim Ummah is that see to it that you condemn this act on all the social media accounts that you have, whether it be Facebook, whether it be YouTube, whether it be Twitter, whether it be WhatsApp. And today we know, Alhamdulillah, after Facebook, the number two most popular social media account, it is the YouTube. YouTube has got 2 billion followers as of October 2020. The third is WhatsApp, which has got 2 billion monthly active users. The fourth is Facebook Messenger, which has got 1.3 billion monthly active users. The fifth, it is the WeChat, 1.206 billion monthly active users. The sixth It is the Instagram. 1.153 billion active users monthly. So if we make use of the more active or the more popular of the social media, there are higher chances that you'll reach a larger audience. At least if we take care of the top 15 or the top 20 most active social media, you'll be able to reach a large audience. Snapchat has got 441 million users. Pinterest has got 413 monthly active users. Twitter has got 336 million monthly active users. So what we should do, we should propagate as much as possible on the social media with whatever ability you have. If you cannot do it yourself, copy the post of other Islamic scholars, other Islamic da'is, other Islamic leaders, and promote this as much as you can. In my YouTube channel, I gave a reply for about 24 minutes to the attack President Emmanuel Macron made against Islam, and that video of 24 minutes, in a span of less than 3 days, it had more than 500,000 views. Alhamdulillah. So you can use the Facebook, you can use the YouTube, you can use the Instagram, and this is how you promote. And what you can do, you can go on the internet and select some books or pamphlets on the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. For example, a short booklet written by a Hindu, Life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, by Prophet Ramakrishna Rao. You can pick up statements from the book of Lamartine on Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. In the book Heroes and Hero Worship, Thomas Carlyle writes about the Prophet. You can pick up that paragraph and send it to a non-Muslim friend. What Michael H. Hart wrote about the Prophet in the book, The 100 Most Influential People. These short things you can pick up from the net and send it to your non-Muslim friends. You can even send the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad. One of the best seerah is The Sealed Nectar, which is written by Sheikh Safiur Rahman Mubarakpuri. It's by Darussalam. You can pick it up, and most of these things are free. Send it to your non-Muslim friend, send it to your Muslim friend, put it onto your social media account and distribute it. It's very easy, and social media, believe me, is absolutely free. You don't have to spend a single penny on it, and no one can say that he cannot spend it on the social media. It's very easy. Point number three is that you can distribute booklets or pamphlets on the life of Prophet Muhammad. Non-Muslim, what they say about Prophet Muhammad, on the seerah of the Prophet. You can buy the translation of the glorious Quran and distribute it. Besides sending the PDF file on the internet, on the social media, you can even give a physical copy. It has a different impact. Pamphlets, booklets, translation of the Quran, Islamic books talking about replying to the misconception about Islam. Number four is that you should make a list of the most important people you know and convey this message to them personally. Everyone has some important people that they know. Some people who are celebrities may be knowing ministers, may be knowing other people. Even a normal man living in an apartment, at least he knows the chairman of a society. So what you should do, you should make a list of the top important people that you know who are opinion makers and convey to them this message personally, one to one. That has a great impact. And when this issue of the French President Macron came up, I used whatever I could on my social media. Then my wife told me that, why don't you convey a message personally to the politicians that you know? And I was quite reluctant, saying that, you know, most of the politicians will not really take action on it. But my wife said, you should do your duty, leave the rest to Allah. So I went on my mobile in my contacts and just typed ministers, and mashallah, there were plenty, there were a few hundred. 30 from one Muslim country, 25 from the other Muslim country, 20 from this country, some are prime ministers, some are home ministers, some are Islamic ministers. And I gave a personalized message depending upon the person. And I spent a couple of hours on it. And alhamdulillah, the result was phenomenal. I never expected such a good result that many of them replied back. Some took action in the next few hours. Some took action after a day. Some took action after 2 days. And they sent me their response, alhamdulillah. Some wrote directly to the embassy. Some wrote letters on the Facebook, on the Twitter. And alhamdulillah, it had a great impact. So if every Muslim notes down the important people who they know, it's most important that they know. He may be a local MLA, he may be a member of parliament, he may be a minister, or he may be just a chairman of your society. The top people that you know, if you give a personalized message, it has an impact. Because sometimes you require the Muslims to be awakened. And I've never done this earlier. Yes, I did contact a few ministers many a time, but not at such a large level. And alhamdulillah, it had a great impact. And many of them replied to me back personally. So the fourth point that should be done is every Muslim, whoever he feels are the most important people he knows, they may be 10, they may be 20, they may be 50, they may be 100, you give them a personalized message. Whether a phone call, whether a personal SMS, whether a personal message on the WhatsApp, talking about this issue, about this blasphemy, and what action should be taken. And believe me, alhamdulillah, there will be a great impact. Fifth point is that you can put billboards, hire big billboards in important cities, and at the main crossroad you can have for a month and put statements of our beloved Prophet, the hadith of the Prophet, what non-Muslims said about the Prophet, statements of important non-Muslim personalities, how they praise the Prophet. You can mention verses of the glorious Quran, how Allah praises the Prophet. For example, you can mention the verse of the Quran of Surah Qalam, chapter number 68, verse number 4, where Allah says, "Verily thou art standeth on the highest standard of character," talking about the Prophet. You can mention the verse of the Quran from Surah Azab, chapter number 33, verse number 21, which says, "Verily in the Prophet you will find the best example to follow." So by mentioning on the billboards, condemning the act against the Prophet, mentioning the good points about the Prophet, let the world know. Hundreds and thousands of people passing on the street will watch it. You can even be able to read it. You can even put on the buses, posters or banners on the buses. You can even have street plays where you can enact plays defending our Prophet and speaking against the insults against the Prophet. You can have in schools programs and train our children how to have programs in favor of the Prophet. They can have nasheeds. The sixth action that can be taken is that Muslims should take out a protest, a peaceful protest against the blasphemy or against the act that has been done. But we should make it a point that the protests should be peaceful. We should not use any violence. We should not damage any property. We should not do vandalization. It should be a peaceful protest. And larger the numbers, the better it is. And we know that there were large numbers in protests have taken place in the past, in various acts of blasphemy done in the past, whether it be Salman Rushdie, whether it be Danish Cartoon, and now also, just a few days back, mashallah, people did take out large processions in countries like Bangladesh. There were more than 40,000 people. Larger the procession, the better it is. It should be a peaceful procession, and there should be a letter drafted depending upon what the act that is done wrong. In this case, it can be to the French embassy or the French consulate in that city. A letter should be given to the Consul General or to the Ambassador that we disagree what the President of France has said against Islam, against our beloved Prophet Muhammad. There should be a letter of condemnation. These processions that are there, it has an impact. The larger the procession, the better it is. And whenever such processions are called for, we Muslims should take part, but see to it that it is a peaceful protest. Because larger the audience that you have, the public that gathers, the larger will the media portray it. It will have a better impact on the people. The seventh action that a Muslim can take is that if that act is such that it is promoted by a particular country, like the act what happened in the beginning of this month was by France, by President Macron, then the Muslims can call for a boycott of the products of that country. And in this case, we could see, mashallah, that many Muslim countries, mashallah, they called for the boycott of the French products, of French goods and services. And alhamdulillah, inshallah, it will have a great impact on France. And in this campaign that I did on my Facebook, I made 5 posts last Wednesday, about 3 days ago, mentioning that we should boycott the products of France and the services. And since I could see that most of the posters that spoke about boycotting the goods, the products weren't mentioned in detail and the brands weren't seen clearly. So I decided to select the 100 most famous brands of France, starting from Louis Vuitton, Chanel, Hermes, and so on and so forth, total. And the first post, I gave the top 10 brands of France. The second post, the top 11 to 25 brands of France. The third post, the top 26 to 50 brands from France. And the fourth post, the top 51 to 75 brands of France. And the fifth post, top 76 to 100. So I divided it so that the brands could be seen clearly. And alhamdulillah, the response was phenomenal. In the first 4 posts that I gave on the same day, the least it reached in a span of 3 days was 4.5 million people, mashallah. And the highest post was, mashallah, more than 7 million. Normally, on my Facebook, as I told you, though there are 22.6 million followers, normally, when I give a post, it reaches about 500,000 people, 800,000 people. If it's more popular, 1 million, sometimes 2 million. But, mashallah, this time, though all the posts were similar, one post reached more than 7 million in a span of less than 3 days. I checked today, before it reached 3 days, mashallah, 7 million people read that message. And the lowest among the 4 posts was 4.5 million people. So all these 4 posts put together, 22 million people, mashallah, read these posts. Imagine 22 million people, that means average each post was viewed by 5.5 million people. As I said, that when a campaign is done, we should see to it that we don't leave all our activities. I decided to do this campaign on my Facebook for 5 days only, because I'm involved in other Dawah activities. We should not stop all other activities, and all of us are concentrating on this for months together. Yes, we have to take out some time, maybe 5 days, 6 days, 1 week, and then continue with activities. And there should be others who carry forward, which I will discuss later in my 14th point. So banning the products has a great impact. And when this was done in 2006 in relation to the Danish cartoons against the Prophet, when there were 12 cartoons that were printed in the Danish newspaper, alhamdulillah, according to estimate they went in a loss of somewhere close to $2 billion. And it had a great impact. This is the seventh point. The eighth point is that every Muslim should contribute for this cause, whatever he can. If he's a rich man, he can give a big amount. Even if he's poor, he should not say that, what will my few dollars do? Because if Allah has given someone a capacity to donate $10 million and he donates only $1 million, and Allah has given someone a capacity to donate $10 and he donates $20, this poor man who donates $20 will get multiple times more sawab than the rich man who has donated $1 million. So Allah will see on what capacity he has given you based on that. So percentage is more important than the amount. If Allah has given you a capacity to spread the message to 1 million people and you spread it only to 500,000 people, Allah has given you a capacity to spread to 100 people and you spread to 200 people, your sawab will be much more than the other person. So whatever you can contribute for the full cause, whether to have protests or whether to have programs, whether to put on the billboard, give it to organizations involved in this or donate for the cause, whatever you can, at least there's a sense of belonging that you are giving your hard-earned money for this cause to the best of your ability. I am putting the points in the order that a common man can do and then going to those points which is difficult for everyone to do. So as far as the first eight points are concerned, almost all the Muslims can get involved. Number one, condemning and agree the act is wrong. Number two, using the social media to spread it as much as they can. Number three, you can distribute booklets or pamphlets on the life of Prophet Muhammad. Number four, pointing out this issue to the important people who they think are public opinion makers. Number five, you can put billboards, hire big billboards in important cities and put statements of our beloved Prophet, the hadith of the Prophet, what non-Muslims said about the Prophet, statements of important non-Muslim personalities, how they praise the Prophet. Number six, is taking out a peaceful protest procession. Number seven is banning the product of that country if it involves. The eighth point is that every Muslim should contribute for this cause, whatever he can. Depending upon the blasphemy and who has done it, these 15 points will keep on differing. Point number nine, or action number nine, is that we should see to it that we use the mainstream media to convey our condemnation for this act of blasphemy, whether it be in the newspapers, whether it be in the magazine, whether it be on the satellite channel. Everyone cannot involve giving articles in the magazine or the newspaper or the satellite. So whoever Allah has given the skill of writing, they should use their skill to write letters or write articles in the newspapers, in the magazines, or maybe give an interview on the channel, in the news channel, or give a talk. We should use the mainstream media as much as possible. And those Muslims who own the mainstream media should see to it that we convey this message of protest on the mainstream media, whether it be newspapers, whether it be magazines, whether it be radio broadcast stations, whether it be satellite channels. We convey this message as much as we can so that this message goes throughout the world. Action number 10 is that we should try and file a legal case against this blasphemy. If someone insulted the Prophet or someone has done some blasphemous act against Islam, we should have a team or a battery of lawyers. A team of lawyers who will know that how this can be filed in the court of law. Depending upon the action that has taken place, depending upon the insult that has been hurled on our beloved Prophet, we should see to it that we file a case in the appropriate court of law. And we know that during Danish cartoons, there were Muslim lawyers who filed a case in January 2006. This incident took place on the 30th of September 2005, And initially, when the ambassador of the Muslim country went to the Danish authorities, government, they didn't give much importance to it. Then the Muslim filed a case in the court of law, but unfortunately they said it is permitted in the freedom of expression to make such cartoon, which is absurd. How can blasphemy be permitted in the name of freedom of expression? And the same thing was said by President Macron. He said that blasphemy is permitted in the freedom of expression. Can you believe blasphemy? If he says that, he is the biggest hypocrite. Just a few days before, when President Erdogan said that President Macron requires a mental checkup because he gave derogatory remarks against the Prophet, against Islam. So, President of Turkey, President Erdogan, mentioned that President Macron requires a mental checkup. Immediately, he called the envoy to Turkey back. He called the French ambassador of Turkey back to the country. Just by saying that Macron requires a mental checkup, he's calling his ambassador back. And you're abusing the Prophet, and that's allowed in freedom of expression. So isn't it double standard? What we should do is we should file a legal case. Have good lawyers who are well versed with the law. It may be in the International Court of Law, or it can be in the court of that country, based on the act. Number 11 is that if such an act like what has happened recently takes place, the Muslim countries should call the ambassador of that country which has done this act and convey the message of condemnation or give them a warning. And alhamdulillah, this has been done very well in many of the Muslim countries. Not all. Many is wrong, it should be few. Alhamdulillah, when President Macron gave the statement against Islam, there were some Muslim countries who called the ambassador. We know that it happened in Turkey, it happened in Malaysia, mashallah, it happened also in Pakistan. But it didn't happen in all the Muslim countries. All the Muslim countries should at least call the ambassador of that country which had done this act and convey our condemnation of this act, that we disagree with this blasphemy, we disagree that a prophet has been insulted. Imagine if the head of that country was insulted by any other foreign country, will the foreign minister keep quiet? And the answer is no. Imagine if some caricature of the prime minister or the president or the king of that country is made in a foreign country and put up on buildings. Immediately, the same day, there will be a protest. So imagine when the head of state, if someone pokes fun at him, you want to make a protest. Why don't we do it when someone makes fun of the Prophet, nausbillah? If you don't protest when someone makes fun of the head of state, it is accepted. Yet you are a Muslim. But how can you agree that a prophet is being insulted and you're keeping quiet? Our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, volume number 1, hadith number 15, that the Prophet said that a person is not a believer until he loves me more than his father and more than his children and more than whole humankind. The Prophet said, a person is not a believer, a person is not a Muslim, unless he loves the Prophet more than the father, more than his children, more than whole of humankind. Our beloved Prophet said, it's mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, point number 1, hadith number 16, that the three qualities if a person has, he will taste the sweetness of faith. Number 1 is love Allah and His Messenger more than anything else in the world. Number 2, if a person loves a person for the sake of Allah and he loves him for the sake of Allah. Number 3 is that he wouldn't like to go in disbelief. like you wouldn't like to go into the hellfire. If anyone has these three criteria, he has tasted the sweetness of faith. That means it is compulsory for every Muslim, every moment, to love Allah and His Messenger more than anything else in this world. So how can we not take objection when someone insults a prophet, when someone does any Islamic blasphemy? Depending upon the seriousness, all these points I'm mentioning is that sometimes someone writes a small article, then maybe the first three points are sufficient. You may not have to go to the fourth point or the fifth point. Depending upon the blasphemy, depending upon the seriousness of an act, you may have to do only first 2 points, sometimes 3 points, sometimes five, sometimes eight, sometimes more. The 12th action that can be taken is that we can stop trade. The Muslim country can stop trade with that country which has done this blasphemy. Depending upon if the head of state or if that country promotes this blasphemy or condones this blasphemy, then such action should be taken. If there is an individual in the country doing some blasphemy and if the country doesn't condone it, then you need not go to these levels. But like what happened in France, the president of France, he's condoning it and he goes out of the way to put the caricatures on tall government buildings, printed in the mainstream media. These blasphemous acts in the name of freedom of expression, the 12th action that can be taken is that we can stop trade with that country. And we know that alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the Muslim countries some important products. And number one, it is the oil, it is the petrol. We know that most of the petrol, most of the oil in the world, alhamdulillah, comes from the Muslim countries. If these countries make a pact or a group, the countries that supply petrol all over the world, whether it be Saudi Arabia, whether it be Abu Dhabi, Kuwait, whether it be Malaysia, Nigeria, these countries which have a large export of petrol, and if they combine and block and see to it that those countries which are indulging in insulting the Prophet or involving in Islamic blasphemy, if they put a trade sanction on them, alhamdulillah, we see that America, if they want to bully anyone, they can put trade sanctions. Why can't we Muslims? And we Muslims are a big economy. As I said, that today more than 25% of the world population are Muslims. Imagine the amount of products that we use, the amount of products that we produce, both. So if we have a trade sanction on a higher level, if the blasphemy is very high or if they don't listen, the 12th action that can be taken is a trade sanction. We know in such times there may be certain loss. If there's a trade sanction, then there may be certain countries which are using a product. If we Muslims see to it that all the Muslim countries support each other, like as I mentioned, when it came to petrol, these countries hold the major portion of the world's petrol, whether it be Saudi Arabia, Abu Dhabi, Kuwait, Malaysia, Nigeria. Where it comes to natural gas, number one is Qatar. Where it comes to palm oil, majority is Indonesia and Malaysia. 45% of the world export of palm oil, it is from Indonesia, and 36% is from Malaysia. Both put together, in these two countries, 81% of the export of the palm oil. Imagine if they work together, these two Muslim countries, and if any country tries to twist the arm, they get together, can very well get an impact. Fine, if certain countries don't purchase from you, you may go in loss a little bit. But imagine the impact that it will have. And if you cannot do this for Allah and His Rasul, then how can you call yourself Muslims? And the 13th action that can be taken is complete boycott and breaking of relationship with that country. And that example is like Israel. What Israel did to the Muslims in Palestine, there were many Muslim countries, mashallah, even till today, they have boycotted relationship with Israel. Many of the Arab countries, unfortunately, in the last few months, there are some Arab countries who have again started the relationship. If we Muslims are together, as Allah says in the glorious Quran, in Surah Maidah, chapter number 5, verse number 2, that help each other in bir and taqwa, in righteousness and in good work. We Muslims should help each other in righteousness and in good work, in piety. If we are together and block, we can be a formidable force. Depending upon the act, we know that what Israel has done against the Muslims is one of the maximum any country has done against. That is the reason we have gone to the level number 13. We have broken all foreign relationship, many countries, mashallah. And it has had a great impact. So we should see to it that we support our Muslim brothers in different parts of the world. The 14th is that whenever such issues take place in the Ummah, we find many people who take active part, alhamdulillah, but we have to realize that this is a specialized work. Muslims should collaborate, but we should not spend our complete time only doing this and leaving the other activities. For example, if I am in Dawah organization, now what I do for the next 6 months, I stop my Dawah activity and only concentrate on this, then it will be a great loss for the Ummah. So what we require? We require specialized Muslim organizations for organizing these things. Or rather, we'd like to say organizations for firefighting. And these organizations should be specialized in taking care of such issues, like someone insults the Prophet or someone does Islamic blasphemy. These organizations should mainly cater to this. They should write from the starting, use the social media, should be able to see to it that our programs go on air, on the satellite, on the newspapers, as articles, whether they have a protest, whether they organize boycotts of the products of that country. So these organizations who are specialized in dealing with anyone who has insulted the Prophet or anyone indulging in Islamic blasphemy is very important. Like when we have our conference, you know, we have the Peace Conference, which is one of the largest Islamic English conference in the world, where we have more than 1 million people coming over a span of 10 days. In this, we have approximately more than 4,000 volunteers. And we have about 30 to 40 different groups. We have different 30 to 40 different committees, whether it be hospitality committee, whether it be transportation committee, whether it be food committee, whether it be toilet committee, many committees. And one we have, which is called as firefighting. This firefighting has a separate head altogether, but when required, it has the heads of the other committees also joining. So similarly, we should have specialized organizations who are specialized in dealing with how to handle such situations. And these organizations should have maybe a few cyber troopers, depending upon the organization, should have few lawyers. These cyber troopers should know what is trending in the social media, how do they utilize it and how do they convey the message. They should have few lawyers. Now these lawyers may not be high-end lawyers, they may have medium level lawyers, like anyone who insults the Prophet or anyone who attacks any other Dai, there should be legal action taken. So such organizations should be there in most of the Muslim cities. Most of the cities which have majority Muslim, they should be there. Or should be in the cities where Muslims are in minority, but they're in large numbers. So these organizations, the main aim is to handle this throughout the year. So in such issues, as President Macron takes place, all the Muslim Ummah joins. Some may join for 5 days, some may join for 6 days, some may join for a week, for 2 weeks. But you can't expect the Muslim Ummah to leave all the activities and full year be after this issue. That will be a loss. Imagine someone is doing Dawah, someone is doing some teaching, someone doing Islamic teaching. If you stop all these activities for 1 year and every year there are some issues. So at this time, all should get together for a few days or for a week. But there are organizations who should handle this situation. And they should be able to see to it that they take the impact to the highest level. And in this organization, they should have contacts as volunteers, top lawyers, top politicians, top Muslim leaders. They will come when required, but they should have full-time few cyber troopers, full-time few lawyers, and they should coordinate and see to it that the end result is achieved. And the 15th point is that on a higher level, all the Muslim countries should unite and they should have a bloc. I know that there are certain organizations which are there, but I believe they have become inactive. This collaboration of the Muslim countries together, there are today 56 to 57 countries in the world which have majority Muslims. We should all join together so that if any action is taken, if we take it unitedly, we'll have a bigger impact. And I believe that this should be away from the normal politics. What has happened now that there are certain organizations, but they're more involved in whether will it benefit my country or not if I take objection, will it benefit the leader of the country. They are more bothered about the personal benefit of the country than the benefit of Islam. That's the reason. Unless a person loves the Prophet more than he loves himself, loves his father, loves his children, loves the humankind, he is not a true believer. And if we realize that there are certain countries, it's not necessary all 57 countries should be together. Let's start with 5 countries. It will become 6, it will become 10, it will become 15. Let them come together and end bloc condemn rather than individually. In such cases, if we come unitedly, we are a bigger force. If there is a boycott of products or a trade sanction or helping each other, if the countries are united, the Muslim countries, we are a bigger force. And imagine 25%, more than 25% of the world population are Muslims. If we unite, we can do wonders. And I would like to give you an example in history. What is the impact when Muslims are united? We know that the 34th Sultan of the Ottoman Empire, his name was Sultan Abdul Hamid II. He was the last Sultan which actually had powers. He was the third last Sultan. There were two Sultans after that. But the person who had some power and say after that it kept on deteriorating, he was the third last Sultan, but the last Sultan which actually had powers. And we know that he ruled from 1876 to 1909. In his reign, towards the end of the 19th century, in late 1800, there was a comedy play that was supposed to be held in France on our beloved Prophet Muhammad. It was a satire, a comedy play, insulting a prophet. And when Sultan Abdul Hamid II heard about this, he got very angry and he wrote a strong letter to the French government saying that this is not tolerated by the Muslims and you should not let this play take place, and I'm totally against it. Initially, the French government tried to give excuses, but they realized that the Sultan was serious. And what did they do? They immediately did not allow this play to take place. And they completely abolished the comedy play to the extent that most of the actors and the people involved, they exiled them to UK to please the Sultan. Few years later, again, news came that the same play is going to take place in UK. So again, Sultan Abdul Hamid II, He got angry and he wrote a similar letter to the UK government that we have heard that there is a play which is criticizing the Prophet and this is not tolerated in Islam and you should immediately see to it that this play doesn't take place. The UK government, the British government replies, Amin Sultan said that this was happening in France and now it's coming in UK, it should not happen and they stopped it, you should stop it too. The UK government replies saying, UK is not France and we believe in freedom of speech, indicating that they will continue with the play. Sultan Abdul Hamid gets very angry and he writes a second letter. He says, you may not be aware that my ancestors, they gave their life for the cause of Islam and I am prepared to do the same. If you do not stop this play, see to it, it is not done. I will inform the full Muslim world that you are doing a play against the Prophet and you will be held responsible for the consequences. Then the British government realized that the Sultan was serious and they were so much afraid of the Muslim unity that time that they immediately banned the play. Imagine, one Sultan says that. Because that time, if you know, it was the end of the Ottoman Empire. That means the last, it wasn't that powerful at all. Yet, just because the Sultan gave a warning, I'll inform the full Muslim world that they're doing a play which is against the Prophet and you will be held responsible for the consequences. That letter was sufficient to bring shivers in the full government. Imagine, at that time, end of the 19th century, you know, the UK government, the France government, they were powerful. That colonies in so many parts of the world, they were even ruling India. But the Sultan writes a letter at that time, even though it's towards the end of the Ottoman Empire, yet they are afraid. And today, we hardly see any Muslim leader speaking. Just one, two, 3 years, yes, a few here and there. But they are speaking individually. Imagine if all the Muslim leaders in the world, even half of them, get together and give a warning. There'll be a world of a difference. Today, the Muslim leaders are more involved. Will it benefit me? Will it not benefit me? Will I remain in power? Will I not remain in power? They are more bothered about their seat here. They are not bothered about the akhirah at all. Imagine, our beloved Prophet said, anyone who does not love Allah and His Messenger more than he loves himself, loves his father, loves his children, he is not a mu'min. How can we Muslims keep quiet when someone is blaspheming against a Prophet? What has happened to the Muslim Ummah? That is the reason when I gave my actions, the lower actions are mainly for the common man. And see this example that the Muslims are united. What an example. Even though towards the end, I personally believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all these actions that take place, whether it be Salman Rushdie, whether it be Danish cartoon, whether it be the Charlie Hebdo, whether it be the statement made by President Macron, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing the Muslims. Do you think Allah cannot solve the problem? Very easily for Allah. Kun fayakun, very easy. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Tawbah, chapter number 9, verse number 61, anyone who abuses the Messenger of Allah, for him there is a painful punishment. Allah repeats a similar message in Surah Azab, chapter number 33, verse number 57. Indeed, those who abuse Allah and His Messenger, Allah curses them in this world and the hereafter, and has prepared for them a humiliating punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for him to solve this is very easy. What is he doing? He is checking the iman of the believers, iman of the Muslims. I believe all these incidences that are taking place, Allah wants to check who is the true believer, who is the namesake believer, who is the munafiq. There may be Muslims who may be praying, but they may be munafiq. They may be calling themselves Muslims, but they're joining hands with the enemies of Islam. So I believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these incidences are taking place to check what are you doing. You cannot complain, okay, that Muslim leader is not good. Allah will ask, what did you do? Allah will ask each and every Muslim, what did you do when you heard that someone was making a caricature of the Prophet, peace be upon him? What did you do when someone insulted a Prophet? And everyone will be responsible for himself. That's the reason in my 15 actions, what I mentioned, each one depending upon what capacity Allah has given you. You cannot say, okay, I am a layman, what difference does it make? Okay, at least inform one person. Whatever you have, Allah will check on your capacity. As I said earlier, if Allah has given you a capacity to reach 1 million people, and if you reach 500,000 people, compared to another person who Allah has given capacity to reach 100 people, and he reaches all 100 people, he will get more sawab than the person who has reached 500,000, because Allah had given him 1 million capacity. That's what keeps me striving. What Allah has given ni'mah to me, am I doing my job or not? Am I fulfilling my duty as a Muslim or not? Am I taking correct action or not? Am I doing enough or not? You cannot say, okay, what difference does it make? I'm a normal Muslim, I don't have contacts. Whatever, Allah will not see on the results, Allah will see on how much jihad you do, how much striving you do, how much struggle you do. So based on whatever capacity you have, whatever ability Allah has given you, whether writing ability, whether Allah has given you speaking ability, whether whatever contacts Allah has given you, whether you may be having 100 people on your Facebook, or 1,000 people, or 1 million people, or 20 million people, Allah will check how much effort have you taken. If Allah has given you a popularity, it is Allah who has given you. We are nothing. Are we utilizing it for the cause of Islam or not? The more ability Allah gives you, the more facility Allah gives you, more will you be responsible. So I believe personally, all these things that are happening in the world, Allah is testing us believers. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 155, Allah will surely test you with fear and hunger, with loss of life and goods. You can never enter Jannah without being tested. So this is the time that we are being tested. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts. And may He guide us in the right way to react to such things that are taking place in the world.